Be honest with some and you can deal with the rest. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
You kind of get tired of doctrine without application, religion without reality, and cliches without truth? If so, you come to the right place. The place, Key Life. The teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, keep it closed, because these are not my ideas. These are God's ideas, and I'm simply the bringer of the news that I have discovered from God in His Word. That's what I do. It's not what I always want to do, but it's what I do, and it's what God told me to do. So we study the Bible on this broadcast. We're talking about pain and suffering. We're talking about God's means of grace. We're talking about some of the things that sometimes we forget when we go through a difficult time and it really hurts. We talked about honest prayer. Listen, if you're going to be honest someplace, be honest before God. If you're going to lie, don't lie to Him. Now, I don't think you ought to lie, and I think you ought to be honest everywhere. But if you just can't manage to tell the whole truth all the time, tell all the truth that you know before God when you pray, because He knows all the truth anyway, and you'll feel better for it, and He will still love you. And then yesterday, we talked about the means of grace when things are really painful. You've got to have honest fellowship. You've got to be real with each other. I have a delightful friend who's sometimes really honest. I visited her. I told you this before, in a hospital one time, and she's getting ready to have surgery. Now, you got to know, I was a pastor for a lot of years. And can we talk? Everybody wants to impress their pastor. I mean, because he's got connections and stuff. I mean, if you're going to show your bad side, don't show it to your pastor, right? So I remember visiting somebody in my church, one of the elders, and he came to the door with a Bible in his hand. I said, I don't believe this. And he said, I don't either. He said, I just picked it up. He said, I don't read it much, but I had it in my hand when you came to the door, and I feel so good. Everybody wants to impress their pastor. I'm on my best behavior when Pete comes in on Friday. So when you visit, if you're a pastor and you visit the hospitals, people want you to know that they're spiritual, even if they're scared. And so you say, how you doing? And I say, well, I prayed about it, and I had peace. Our God's Spirit is so present right now. I'm trusting God. Sometimes it's hard, Pastor, but I'm trusting God, and I know He's going to. Now, that's all good and maybe true. But I went into this lady, and I said, how are you doing? Are you scared? She said, what are you, a fruitcake? Of course I'm scared. Scared to death. People die in this place. When you're going through difficult times, you need Christian brothers and sisters. And by the way, then we could deal with it. She felt better for having said it, and then we were able to pray and say, and I prayed for her, and I said, my friend here is scared to death, Lord, and I'm scared for her, so we're coming to you because you're not. And I asked that you would come as the great physician and grant peace. And when I finished praying, we looked up, and both of us felt a whole lot better. When your rope breaks, you need Christian brothers and sisters who are earthy enough to hear your fear, your hurt, to listen to your confession without giving you some kind of spiritual party line. Now I don't think, as I said yesterday, I don't tell everybody. I mean, that's silly. But I think you need to have a few people you can be totally honest with, and then you can deal with all the others. I was at a retreat once with the officers of the church. And we didn't have a speaker. This is a church where I was from. We just wanted to get to know one another. One of the elders during this retreat, who had a business in which he needed to be seen as successful, opened the retreat with these words, guys, I want you to know, and I don't even like saying this, but my business is falling apart. I don't think I'm going to be able to salvage it. I'm scared to death. You know what we did the rest of the retreat? We spent the time ministering to him. Officers who had encountered similar business problems spoke to his problem. Some just let him know they cared. Still others started thinking of ways they could help him. Now, I had an agenda for the retreat. I was the pastor. We were going to pray a lot, study the scriptures a lot, learn some new doctrine, maybe sing some. They couldn't sing very good, but sing some and, encourage each other. God had another agenda, and it started with a dear brother who decided to get honest. We hadn't even had an opening prayer. It's been a while since that retreat, but one of the elders said to me not too long ago, "Steve, that retreat was great. I don't remember what I learned, but I remember God coming to that retreat. If you don't have brothers or sisters in Christ with whom you can be less than spiritual, for God's sake and for your sake, go find some. You think about that. Amen." Well, on Wednesday's broadcast, I take some time to answer some questions, and then Pete comes in, my pastor, on Friday, and we answer some more questions, and we get thousands of questions, and we love to get your questions, but you have to write them down. Send them to Key Life. If you're in the States, you send them to Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. If you're in Canada, send it to Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us your questions with your regular mailing address, steve@keylife.org, and you get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And we love to get your questions. Don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number. You can become a part of Key Life Tapes free. You can get the magazine free. You can get the pamphlet free. You make a contribution, but you got to write your questions down. Hey, a couple of things. Don't forget our website. You can learn more about Key Life and hear the broadcast, today's broadcast, and the previous 30. You can get a lot of neat stuff to help you get home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And by the way, I appreciate your prayers. Tomorrow through Sunday, I'll be speaking for the Family Business Conference in Key Largo, Florida. Suffering for Jesus in a very pretty place. Let me get to some of these questions. This is from California. What do you think of various 12-step programs, including Alcoholics Anonymous? I like them. I think they're good. I think they're honest. I don't think they're necessarily Christian, but they have biblical basis to them. People are Christian. I get a lot of letters from people that criticize AA or the drug thing or the recovery movements that go on. And I want to say to them the same thing that Moody said to the man who criticized his methods of evangelism. And Moody said, "I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." And I kind of feel that way, man. I tell you, when you make as big a difference in a lot of people's lives as AA does and a number of the recovery movements, then you can yell and scream and talk about doctrine and all that kind of stuff. But I'm very supportive of that thing. And in fact, in our Born Free seminar, in a very Christian and biblical way, we have a 7-step program. It's sort of your economy size, 12-step program. We only have 6 commandments, too, by the way. No, I'm kidding. But I'm very supportive of the recovery movement. I think Christians know a lot more than a 12-step program. But it doesn't mean the 12-step program isn't very helpful. This is from Florida. Do you consider dancing a sin? My wife loves to dance, and I don't like dancing. So I keep telling her it's a sin, but she's not buying a bit of it. She said, "Honey, when we were dating, we danced a lot, and as soon as we walked down that aisle, you quit." And I said, "Well, I was convicted of God. God told me we couldn't dance." Then she gets out the Bible and shows me where dancing's in the Bible. And I say, "Well, I'm a Bible teacher, and I know that's a textual error. It was included by a later redactor in the text and was not in the original." Now, we've been married for 100 years, so that dog doesn't hunt anymore. No, I don't think dancing is a sin. Unless you dance the way I do and can't dance, that's probably sinful. And I might say there is some kind of dancing that's very erotic and should not be a part of what Christians do, but I think dancing is not a sin. This is from Tennessee. Why is the resurrection of Christ necessary for our faith? Because it'd all be a lie if it didn't happen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about the resurrection. He said, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain, and we are above all men the most to be pitied. So if, you know, if Jesus, if that dead man didn't get up and walk, man, you become a Buddhist, it's a lot better. If Jesus is providing fertilizer for flowers outside Jerusalem somewhere, then burn your Bible, because it's not true. So, it was the explanation point about everything that God did. Had to do with prophecy, had to do with who Jesus said he was and what he said he was going to do, and that he did it, and that he didn't lie, and that he's the only man who could tell the truth and knew what he was talking about. That's why the resurrection of Christ is important. And that's why, in terms of salvation, Paul refers to the resurrection with the crucifixion as important. And this is from Ohio. How can I grow to believe and accept the love of God for me? I sometimes want, I know, I understand that. Let me tell you something. Ask God to show you who you really are. And then ask him to hug you after he does that. And one of the reasons that I keep saying on this broadcast that God isn't angry at his people. Now, if you're flipping across the dial and you're not a believer, he's ticked at you and he's coming back and you're going to be in serious trouble. But if you're a believer, God's not angry at you. And we're so afraid of being honest before God or of allowing him to show us what's really wrong in our lives. Make a list. Just say, Lord, and he answers this kind of prayer. Say, Lord, show me. Let's start writing it down and be really honest. I mean, don't play these religious games and be so spiritual. If you're drunk, don't tell God that you're sick. He knows you're drunk. If you've had things in your mind that you're so telling, and then say, Lord, do you still love me? And then go to the scriptures that say more than you could ever know. Now that's a lifelong process, and dear friend in Ohio, you got to keep doing that. You got to stay with it, and then we've got to do what I just did for you, and what Martin Luther said that we had to do. We have to preach the gospel to one another, lest we become disloyal. Well, I'm out of time. No time to start another question at any rate. Whenever you write a call, would you give me the call letters of this great station? A lot of good folks make this broadcast possible. We love to know who they are. And then one other thing before I go, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.